Gun violence in this country is an epidemic. Let me say it again. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic, and it's an international embarrassment. They've offered plenty of thoughts and prayers, members of Congress, but they passed not a single new federal law to reduce gun violence. Enough prayers. Time for some action.
That's President Biden earlier today proposing a series of executive orders on gun control and ways to increase gun safety. We will see how that turns out. I want to talk to Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy about that and more. Congressman, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. And I should say, unfortunately, just as we speak, the wires are covering a story in East Texas. Police say multiple people have been hurt in a shooting in a town called Bryan, Texas. It's about 15 minutes from Texas A&M. They say the gunman is still at large. It's not clear how many people were injured and whether there were fatalities in that. Congressman, I've been doing the news a long time, and that's becoming more and more frequent of a story.
Unfortunately, it is. And I think that the president is correct that Congress has not acted. And so I think that Congress definitely deserves part of the blame here. I think what the president's doing today with these executive actions is recognition that Congress hasn't done enough. And I think, for instance, limiting the proliferation of these ghost guns or regulating access to the stabilizing braces mm-hmm. that transform pistols into rifles, or publishing model red flag laws, which allow loved ones to petition courts to prevent others in their family from doing harm to themselves or others. These are all reasonable.
I'd never heard of the ghost guns before, and I'll explain, and then you correct me if I'm wrong, but they're basically kits you can buy or pieces you can buy off the internet and then assemble your own gun at home. And by doing so, the gun's not registered. You don't have to worry about background checks or anything like that.
That's exactly right. It's crazy that this is allowed to happen. But yes, these particular parts don't have serial numbers. There's no background check required for the purchase of them, although it's clear that they are intended to be assembled into a gun, and that's why I think it's only appropriate that the government require background checks in this particular instance as well.
It seems, too, though, that, and I should say, Ben Bradley was just on with Elise Glink a few minutes ago, and I think the number he said last year in Chicago, they recovered 100 and just about 140 of these ghost guns, and they've recovered nearly 40 so far this year. That's in the city. So it's not as if it's not, it's something that's not really out there. Those guns are out there.
Correct. And also, just to add to what you said, not only are kits being sold and parts being sold, but remember, people are going to be increasingly 3D printing their guns. Mm-hmm. And that is another menace lurking that has to be addressed and regulated, obviously.
And, we're such a different country in different parts of this country. Tennessee's governor today signed a bill that will allow most 21-year-olds to carry handguns without first clearing a background check or any training. And that would be a big story if he was the only governor doing that in the country, but there are about 20 other states that do that, which is, in other parts of the country, that would just be hard to understand. But in Tennessee and other parts there, it's just what's normal.
This is nutty, man. This stuff is meant to benefit only one group of people, and that's the gun industry. It's dressed up in the Constitution and Second Amendment rights, but it's really driven by the industry and their need to sell guns. And we have to put a stop to this. There's a background check bill called H.R. 8. We've passed it out of Congress twice. I'm sorry, out of the House mm-hmm. twice now, and it's gone to the Senate, even though 90% of gun owners favor closing the loopholes for internet sales, private sales, gun shows, to require background checks, which this bill does. It's all of one paragraph long. It's one of the shortest bills I've ever seen. It can't even come to a vote in the Senate because of the filibuster. And so this is the type of obstructionism we're seeing, and that's why President Biden had to act today in some measure.
The one thing that I think could be helpful to all states, whether you are a pro-gun state, anti-gun, or neutral, whatever, is this idea that the Justice Department is going to draft sort of a model for red flag laws that will help states determine maybe who should be on the lookout or who might be at risk of hurting themselves or others with a gun. I mean, that seems like that's something everyone could agree would be useful.
Yes, it's been shown to reduce suicides. Even my own bill, which I authored, which is called the Cool Off Act, it just requires a 3-day waiting period for the purchase of handguns, has been shown to reduce suicides and homicides by double digits because it reduces crimes of passion, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, the Atlanta and the Colorado murders were committed on the same day that the shooter bought the gun. And obviously those shooters were deeply disturbed people. Imagine just for a moment what would have happened had there been a 3-day waiting period.
You know,
I don't know the answer, but that's unfortunately what we have to ponder with these lax gun laws.
I want to get to YouTube here, but that reminds me of a study I heard about years and years ago, and they gave prescription drugs, dangerous drugs, in bottles that could only dispense one pill at a time. And
yes,
when they did that, you could still get 50 pills out of the bottle, but you'd have to do them one by one by one by one. And they showed a drop in the suicide rate just for the very reason you're talking about, that if you have more time to think about it, more time to deliberate over it, you're less likely to do it.
That's exactly right. I mean, you allow someone to go out and buy a gun, perhaps on the worst day of their life. Guess what happens?
Right.
Tragedy happens. And I think we have to prevent that.
All right. You sent a letter as the head of the subcommittee overseeing the Google and YouTube for Kids, sent a letter to Google saying that they're still improperly advertising to children. Explain that for me.
Yes. So for all your parents in the audience, you are probably very familiar with YouTube for Kids. I certainly am, with 3 kids at home. We've used it at home from time to time to entertain our children when, you know, we're in the kitchen doing something or whatnot. But what we found now, and studies have shown this, that YouTube for Kids has very, very poor programming in terms of the educational value. But what's more disturbing is that there's a lot of advertising that's happening through product placement and other means, which parents never consented to or knew about, and yet it's ubiquitous in YouTube for Kids. And so we are asking the company for more information about this. I suspect that this is intentional and that the YouTube algorithms, basically keep feeding these young children these videos that basically keep showing the product placements certain products.
And talk to me about that, because it's not just the product placements. It's product placements being used by influencers, right, that these kids look up to.
Correct. It's like the classic one is, for instance, an influencer playing a video game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It drives me insane to see these videos of children playing video games. And essentially, you know, it's the influencer that's popular playing a video game that some company is trying to peddle.
Right.
And it gets very popular. And the thing is the algorithm immediately serves up another video just like that, maybe by the same influencer or a different influencer, but it's another video game video. And so you just get these kids hooked, and pretty soon, guess what? They're asking for that video game, right?
Well, and the other thing is, you know, and this happens to adults too, where you watch one video and then the next one pops up, right? An adult can handle it or should be able to handle it, but you want parents the ability to stop that autoplay. So if they watch one video with this influencer, the next one doesn't automatically start. I just got about 10 seconds. What are your chances of getting that done?
You know, I'm going to be persistent because, you know, our children, I'm finding, unfortunately get targeted in ways by companies that parents don't expect. And quite frankly, they expected their government to regulate. And this is something that I find my colleagues on the other side of the aisle in agreement on, that we got to protect our kids. They're not for sale.
Fantastic. Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy, it's always great to talk to you.
Same here, my friend. Thank you.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN. The news from Lauren Lapka just around the corner.